What's going on, everybody? This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens, and you're listening to the Rough and Real Podcast. So today we do not have Curtis in studio. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it to be in here, but I do have some special guests in the house, and we'll get to them here in a minute. But real quick, I just want to remind everybody that we have the All Hope No Hype event coming up. That is Sunday, November 3rd. That's going to be located in Tracy. The address there is 1601 North Tracy Boulevard in Tracy, California at the Masonic Center. So it's called All Hope, No Hype. It's basically a conference. I ain't gonna lie. It's basically a conference. But it's going to be have that podcast twist to it. So we do have some guest speakers you guys heard about. We got Bishop Johnny Clark coming through. We also got Pastor Arbella is going to come by. And potentially we got a few extra ones. But they're $20 tickets. You guys can contact me, contact Curtis, and we can get you guys the tickets. Or if you guys want to like really be smart when you're out there trying to get these tickets and help us out, if you go check out Beauty Devotionals in Manteca, Beauty Devotionals, they are located at 965 East Yosemite Avenue, Suite 17 in Manteca. Anna over there is the owner of Beauty Devotionals, and she was so cool that if you actually go and buy a ticket from her, she's going to be giving you guys 10% off waxing, makeup, facials, lash extensions, and body wraps. I still to this day don't know what body wraps are, but you will get 10% off. So go out there and get 10%, man. And, just big shout out to Anna. Thank you, Anna, for helping us sell tickets and raise money for what we're trying to do. And that's what it is. That's what this event is. It's basically an opportunity for us to try to help raise some money so that we can try to give back to the community, give back to the foster kids in our community here in the Central Valley, and, you know, just try to give back a little bit, whatever we can. And speaking of that, we actually have two gentlemen in the house today. We have Eric Carrillo and Scott Bittner.
Bittner.
Okay. Bittner. Why do I want to add R? Bittner.
You're not the first.
Okay. Scott Bittner. So we got these gentlemen in the house. They are from Foster Love 209. This is a group of guys we kind of connected with. Eric Carrillo, I've known for a while. He's actually a teacher at my son's school, so I've known him for a minute. But I'll let them get into it, but we're going to get it with them. That's kind of what we're going to help raise money for, what they're causing, and we're going to get into it. So what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
All right.
We're good. Eddie. Good.
You guys good, man? You guys find my studio okay?
Yeah, the studio's nice.
just follow the Dodger gear.
That's all you got to do, bro. Just follow it, and you guys will make
heavy
it.
Heavy security.
That's it. I'm glad you guys came through. Glad you guys came by. So let's get started. Let's back up a little bit so people kind of get to know you guys. You two guys started Foster Love 209? Is that what's up?
Yes, pretty much, yeah. The collaboration with my wife, Estella.
Shout out to Estella.
Yeah, shout out to my wife. She's the backbone of this, you know. Doesn't like to show her face, but she helps us a ton. Scott and I go way back to college, right?
Yeah, we met at the University of Phoenix.
2 years ago in college? Yeah.
2 years ago? No. let's see. 14 years ago?
Yeah, 2004.
Okay, I was trying to help you guys out.
Man. No.
Right across the freeway here, I-5 at University of Phoenix. We both were getting our teaching credentials at the time.
Here in Lathrop?
Here in Lathrop, yeah.
Ah, okay. So look at that.
He is a Giants fan. I'm a Dodger fan. And we sat across from each other and looked at each other like, I hate you. Yeah. Right. And now we've become best buds.
That's cool.
And so teaching took us to, I won't speak to you for yourself, but you already work in foster care, right?
Yeah, I'll get to me, but I think it's kind of important, especially for what we're doing and what we're talking about, to kind of give your background with your kids, because that's kind of where this all started.
Yeah. Okay.
Like this is all where, when we talk about foster care and adoption and where your passion kind of came from, for me, I think that's where it started for you. So I think that you should kind of address that a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll go even further back because it goes back to my own youth. I was raised by my mom and my dad, raised in a Christian home. My dad's assistant pastor. My mom, women's leadership, okay. Missionary. She did a lot of missionary work. Oh, like nice. Not actually go on missions when I was a kid. But it was always preached to us at our home, give back. Give back. I remember my own dad giving back to friends and family. Mm. And honestly, sometimes it would go great. Sometimes he'd get screwed.
Right.
You know, friends became people that would not return phone calls because they owed money. Mm. And so I saw my dad and myself. I'd be so upset. I'm like, man, this guy you just lend this guy $3,000 and he hasn't paid you back. And we see him around town.
Right.
And you're okay with that. He's like, I just pray for him. I just, every time I see him, and I pray that you will find God someday and you're going to realize what you did. And sure enough, years later, the guy did finally come up and apologize to him. And so I saw that as a kid. My mom had said that from the time I was a baby, I'd see a kid crying and I'd feel bad for them. And so fast forward to myself as an adult.
Sorry to cut you off real quick, bro. We can have a whole episode on that alone, bro.
I know.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, we can have a full episode on that. That's, so, that's awesome. I said mini rewind.
You took it all the way, bro.
Well, no, yeah. You need to so that you could see where I'm coming from.
No. It's good. Yeah. It's good to know. But, you know, I was just talking about the fact that your dad was able to prey on people that owe him money and things like that, especially because I'm sure, you know, you didn't grow up, you know, with a silver spoon in your mouth, per se.
Yeah, not at all.
So, I mean, I know a little bit about you. So that's crazy, bro. Yeah. But let's move on. So fast forward
to, you know, getting married to my wife, Estella. From the beginning, she's like, you know, I want to eventually adopt children. We were faced through, again, would be a whole another podcast, some fertility issues where we eventually just said, you know what, let's face this ground. At the beginning, I was like, you know, I don't know about this whole adopting. You know, right. My machismo came out, the Mexican machismo, like, nah, I need to have my own kids. I need to but little by little, getting to know some people, my sister-in-law adopted through foster care in Stanislaus County, and started looking into it. And we're like, you know what? This is what we need to do. We really felt that something was calling us to do this. And we jumped right in. And by that time, you know, Scott and I were really good friends. He was in the foster care community, you know, an agency. And we got our first son, came to us. Long story short, we ended up adopting him. But when he came into to us, he was with what they call an emergency placement. Mm. So a child gets removed for whatever reason, obviously no fault of their own. He was 4 months at the time.
Okay.
Little chunky little
bowling ball.
A bowling ball. My dad calls them bolitas, which means, you know, because he was like the Michelin baby.
Gotcha.
And so he came with like this little container. It was Cars, the movie Cars, with a couple of things in there. And that was it. We literally went from one day being told, well, we did classes. I have to rewind a little bit. We did classes for about, I want to say, 9 weeks. On the ninth week, the social worker, Cheryl Dixon, right? Is that her last name?
It is.
Auntie Cheryl. That's what we call her. Shout out to Cheryl. We're going to make sure she listens to this. She's waiting for us with another social worker, Patty, saying, hey, this is like literally our graduation day. We have someone that we want to place with you. Can you take them this weekend?
Mm.
We're like, what do you mean? We don't have a car seat. We don't have a crib. We don't have diapers. We don't have anything. And so we were supposed to go camping with some friends of ours. This was a Wednesday. We were going to go camping Friday night. As soon as we got out of there, went straight to Walmart, started buying it. We bought a crib. We literally spent $1,500. And as any parent would know, I mean, you have 9 months to plan. We had
2 days.
2 days to get everything we needed.
Wow. So,
you know, we were able to, luckily, because of, you know, our financial situation, we were able to just go. Boom, let's go, you know, and take care of this right away. And when he came to us, when Eric first came to us, you know, like I said, he brought whatever little stuff he had. And honestly, he's very fortunate he came with anything, because most foster kids, whether it's a baby or a teenager, when their parents get involved for whatever reason with the local law enforcement, they're being told, okay, you got to go with us. Sometimes it's out of school. I've seen it at our own school, you know. Authorities come in and say, you need to come with us. What's going on?
You don't even go home sometimes.
Sometimes, or they're at home and it's like, we need to get you away from this situation ASAP. Wow. And so they go to an emergency placement, and that emergency placement hopefully has some stuff, but they don't have anything that belongs to that child. So we realized that a couple of years into foster care, and we're like, we need to do something about this. And the first person I called was my boy Scott here.
Because Scott was already working
For the system. First person I called, he helped us through our two adoptions that we have. You know, they're my sons. I don't say adopted son. They are my sons. I mean, you've gotten to know them.
Yeah, of course.
And but we want to give back, and we want, just like my parents showed me growing up, you know, to give back. Now we want to show them to give back. And it's really close to them because they were in the system. even though, like, you know, my second son, he came from the hospital and he knows nothing about anything besides us.
Right.
It's still, they need to know that there are thousands and thousands of kids that are in the same situation they were, but older.
And not as fortunate to be able to go somewhere
where they can get and help. And not that we're talking about, you know, oh, we're so awesome. No, I mean, to be, I guess foster parent is a hard thing to do, but we do need a lot of foster parents out there. And it's just one of those things that we as a Foster Love 209 are trying to do is reach those kids through our agencies. You know, with, right now we work a lot with Stanislaus County. We're trying to get into San Joaquin County. I mean, do some of our, some of the kids that get our, we've done duffel bag, decorating, fundraising, and we'll go into that a little bit more, but, they've reached pretty much around the state. It's not just, I mean, we are local. We are based out of Stanislaus County ourselves. We're just, you know, a group of, you know, him, Scott and I, my wife, some other friends, Sergio, Giovanni, Lisa Pena, they've helped us a ton at events, and we're just, you know, trying to help out the kids out there that need this. So.
No, that's dope, man. I appreciate you sharing a little bit of your past with us. What about you, Scott? What got you into this, man?
Well, so when I was in college,
right.
I 2001, I'm aging myself here. I got a job working as a one-on-one counselor, and I literally took the job because at that time it was paying $12.50, which is a ton of money when you're in college.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that was
sure.
a lot of money. That's why I got the job.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just supposed to be a job while I finished school. And that was 2001, and I haven't left the field.
Okay.
So it's been almost 18 years.
Now, is it because you started getting raises and promotions and found out there was more money to be made?
Honestly.
Or was it the love of the job?
Well, honestly, what it was... like Eddie said, I was going to school to get my teaching credential, and that was 05, 06. And then I don't know if you remember, but between 06 and 08, like the education system just was a mess.
Yeah.
People mm-hmm. were that had like 15 years, 10 year, were getting laid off. Like it was.
What was the whole economic?
It was definitely combined and intertwined with that. But so Eddie graduated and he went in, and then I was like, I had a job and I had got a bump to social worker, a promotion. And I was making pretty good money, and then I wasn't going to have to deal with that education stuff. And I was like, well, I'll just stay here for now and then see if it settles down. And then I never left.
And I got laid off. And so he's like, wait a minute, I'm glad I didn't. I'm like, I should have gone your way.
And I knew several, I had several friends that were teachers where like there was a 3-year period where it was like, you know, feast or famine.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty stable, so I kind of stayed there. And then... like I said, I've been doing this for a long time. I've worked with several different agencies. I actually have a son that I adopted that I worked with for a long time. Mm. And it was pretty clear after working with him for about 3 or 4 years, like, this is my kid.
Yeah.
My mom was actually adopted, so I've always wanted to give back a little bit, you know, in that way.
I just find this out right now. I didn't know your mom was adopted.
Yeah, it's not a secret. I've told it before.
Well,
selective hearing, Eddie. Selective hearing.
For a minute there, dude, I thought we got an exclusive on our podcast, but apparently not. It was just you, bro. You're just behind. You're just behind, bro.
Yeah, but that's another thing I've always wanted to give back because, you know, somebody did that for my mom.
Right.
And without that, who knows if I'd have been here, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
So, so I've always done that. And the reason I stayed there was the reason I wanted to be a teacher because I wanted to help and I wanted to give back and I wanted to help kids. But I found out when I was doing social work, I do get to help kids and in basically a smaller size, you know, sample. And it's more direct, more one-on-one stuff. So I was still accomplishing something that I wanted to do, just a different avenue.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of, you know, my background as far as that. And, you know, I've done one-on-one counseling. I've done social work. And then as far as, you know, Eddie's story, when he was going through his stuff, you know, I was constantly getting phone calls, asked questions. What do you think about this? What do you know about this? I don't know what to do, man. Mm. You know, and I just tried to impart my knowledge of the business side of what we do, you know, and then try to help him with the, you know, the feelings and the emotional side, to help him try to get through whatever he needed to get to. And, I think it was that when we kind of both went through that when he was dealing with that with his kids, it's that relationship that kind of inspired, you know, well, now that I've got my kids,
yeah,
what else can we do to help out? Because I know what my kids needed and there wasn't necessarily resources for that.
Mm.
So what can we do to help other kids in the area?
Now, let me ask you a cool question because you're talking about resources. Now, something that I've heard, I don't know anything about fostering. Me and my wife never fostered, but we thought about fostering at one point. We actually went and took like the first intro course in Stockton, whatever it was. But this was years ago. But a lot of the things that I hear out there or people think is that foster kids, the foster parents make a lot of money on these kids. Why is it that the kids don't have the resources? Because that's what I was told. And again, I don't know how much they get make, or I don't know anybody personally. This is just the stories you always hear through people.
Yeah, right.
And it's almost a stigma or I don't know if it's a stigma or what would you call it? Perception, whatever. What do you think about that?
So here's what I would say is that I would think that it is kind of a stigma.
Okay.
Because foster parents do get a pretty decent reimbursement, and it has really improved over the years.
Okay.
When I first started, it was not much.
Got it.
You have kids. Eddie has kids. It's not cheap.
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? Food, all clothing, all the other kind of things, right? So when a foster parent gets a reimbursement, a portion of that is absolutely going towards that. You know, they're not getting a paycheck. That's not how it is. You get a reimbursement to help with certain things. And that is like literally written in the paperwork. Like these are the things that you need to, you know, like you have to supply, you're supposed to do. And the goal is, in theory, you're a parent. You don't worry about that stuff. You spend way more than you get reimbursed.
Right.
So in theory, most of the time that happens.
Okay.
Right? Most of my families that I work with, they spend way more on their kids than they get. Okay. But that doesn't mean that they don't necessarily need stuff. And a lot of times what happens is like when we do things, we're trying to create stuff or duffel bags or bikes or stuff. Those are for kids that are new, that are just coming into the system. So like Eddie said, when he got his son, he was 4 months old, but he didn't really have anything.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because they get pulled for whatever reason. And a lot of times they're not allowed to grab stuff, or if they are, they throw stuff in a trash bag and then like they sit in an office until they're placed.
Got it.
So a lot of times, like the things that when we're talking about resources and stuff, like it's for kids that are coming in and they haven't been established or been in homes. Mm. So they don't necessarily have a lot of stuff. Like a kid that I have that will have been in a home for 3 years, he probably doesn't need a lot of stuff, but it's still nice to get stuff, like for all kids. So it's definitely not a situation where foster parents are collecting this paycheck and these poor kids need stuff, right? So it's more of like when kids are coming into the system, when they are not established, if that makes sense,
right?
In a family. Okay. And a lot of times there's other things that come with that. Kids have, in just a little background here, most kids that are in the system, they're all going to come with some kind of trauma, whether it's some kind of abuse or some kind of, you know, there's the abuse, physical or sexual, mental, you know, I mean, they got yanked from their family. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So sometimes that can lead to behavioral problems. And when that happens, then it becomes hard sometimes for them to find a home where they feel comfortable. So they end up, unfortunately, having to go through a couple homes because they're having behavioral outbursts or whatever. So one of the things that has happened over the last 4 or 5 years is they're really trying to focus on permanency and, you know, not giving up on a kid and really sticking it out, even if the behaviors are extreme. Mm. And that's something that you're going to get with a good set of parents. And so that's kind of, you know, if a kid bounces around a little bit, then also they don't have the things because they're not established. Mm-hmm. So any proceeds or anything that was raised, clothing, socks, bikes, duffel bags, that would help that kid as well because he or she may have not really established any roots. And a lot of times it's because they don't want to. They're angry. They're mad.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Well, jumping into what Scott just said, I think last year at my school, I pulled up to the driveway or the parking lot, parked. Right next to me, I see a SUV. I look into that. Just happened to, something in the passenger side just caught my attention. I look in there. It's our duffel bags. Well, I shouldn't say ours. It's duffel bags that are very similar to what we had. So I'm like, my boys are there. I'm like, hey, boys, look it. What is that? They're like, those are our duffel bags. I'm like, well, not technically ours, but they're very similar to ours. So I walk into the office and talking to the ladies, and I'm like, hey, there's a vehicle out there. Does anyone know who it belongs to? I mean, I know the teacher vehicles. I know most vehicles, you know, that will park in that spot. And a lady's right there, kind of worries, like, that's mine. Why? What's going on? Said, those duffel bags you have in there, where'd you get them? And she had 3 or 4 kids with her. And she said, they're theirs. Why? And she's like questioning me, like, who are you? What the heck, dude? And I said, well, and I literally broke down. I started crying. And she looking at me, and the secretary's like, are you okay?
This guy's crazy.
Those duffel bags. I said, can I talk to you in private? So I pulled her to the side. I said, these children, are they your children? She's all, they're my foster kids. Yeah. I said, well, my foster life 209, we decorate duffel bags just like that. Where'd you get them from? She said, well, they came from another home, the home before mine, and they won't let those things go. They have a teddy bear. They have a teddy bear that they, and so she goes, she calls the kids over, and the oldest one was maybe 8, 9 years old. So, hey, this is Mr. Carrillo. And I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And she says, he wants to know about your duffel bag. So, oh, I love it. I mean, this is a little kid. Like, I love it. I said, when did you get it? And she's like, oh, my old home. I said, oh, where are you taking it? She's like, we're going back to my mom and dad right now. And I'm taking it with me. I go, oh, that's really cool. I said, what was your favorite part about that? What you got in there? So the teddy bear. Because at that age, we give them a teddy bear. A teddy bear comes with.
So it was a bag that came through your.
It wasn't through ours. It came from Alameda County. So the organization that we go through for these duffel bags is Together We Rise. Together We Rise. I think it's org. Is it org or .com? Yeah. Together We Rise. .org. Okay. So our fundraising, what we've done so far, and we've done duffel bags, 3 times. We started with our first one was 32 bags. The second one was 53. And then through my wife's work at Memorial Hospital, they did their own duffel bag, but we organized it pretty much, our organization. And as far as I know, we're the only ones in Stanislaus or San Joaquin County that have organized through togetherwerise.org to get these duffel bags.
Got it.
And then we've done bikes. We did bikes through Uplift Family Services where Scott works. We donated, 32 bikes?
I think it was more.
More than that, yeah. Last January, we did birthday boxes. And so those did go to kids in foster care already. They were donated to Scott's organization or his workplace. And they distributed them to, what kid doesn't want a birthday present, whether it's foster care
any kid.
So
kids are still
kids.
And
it was very emotional because it kind of, we talked about it being full circle, you know. We can't be there when that bag is given to them. I mean, physically impossible for me. Oh, they have a kid in Stockton that's being placed into foster care. Grab a bag and go deliver to them. Number one, legally, we can't do that. Number two, how are we going to, we have lives too.
Right.
So we do a lot of the background work where these kids don't see it immediately. They're not seeing who's doing all the work, but they're seeing the result of it. And that was for me the first time I actually got to see the result of a kid or 4 kids actually that had those duffel bags and the meaning that it meant to not only them, but to the foster mom. Because the foster mom was like, a hygiene kit, toothpaste, toothbrush, floss. Like that made a huge difference because they don't come with a toothbrush.
Right.
So a foster parent's going to have to, if they get called at midnight, where are they going to go get a toothbrush?
Exactly.
If it's near a 24-hour Walmart, great. I'm going to go. But then what about those kids?
Right.
So we provided those little essentials to these
I think what you're saying is really cool. The church I belong to and that I go to, you actually were connected with them a few years ago. They give away backpacks before school starts. They give hundreds and hundreds of backpacks away. Every year they set up over at the park here in Lathrop, and they're free, 100% free. And it doesn't matter if, foster kids or not.
Yeah.
kids just show up and in, you know, they put school supplies and things of that nature into them. And actually one year, I think
we were there
2 years ago,
2 years ago,
yeah. 2 years ago, we were there. Cause, your kids and my son were playing basketball together.
Yeah.
I introduced them to Pastor Eric and that you guys were able to talk and our church was able to give you guys some backpacks.
It was a good amount. I want to say it was like 70 or 80 backpacks that were left over.
Yeah.
And they went to foster kids too.
And every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the fact that you're saying the story of how it comes back in full circle, I've seen it, you know, firsthand. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing to do for kids because there's a lot of kids out there that it's weird that things that we take for granted now as adults, quote unquote. But I go back to when I was a kid. I mean, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up in a rough neighborhood. I was telling you guys off air that even like Christmas, I remember the park would give away coloring books. I was 12, 13 years old maybe. And I remember just being excited just to open up a coloring book. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? It was just cool to little things like that. Like everybody was out there just getting something. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you guys are giving back, I think that's really amazing. But let's get back to Foster Love 209. How did that idea grow? Where did that come from? And what exactly do you guys do?
Well, our original organization was Friends of Ricky Ricardo Youth Services. So when I first started wanting to get involved in giving back to the community, our first goal was to do scholarships for foster kids that were aging out of the system.
Got it.
And so through my friend Ricky Ricardo and a couple of other people, we were able to form this organization.
Not the Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo Promotions. He goes by Ricky Ricardo. His name is Ricky Cardenas. Ricardo Cardenas.
Got it.
Yes, but I just call him Ricky Ricardo.
Got it.
I think that's where he stole the name from.
I believe so. Copyright.
Right. So we did that a couple years. And we eventually just, we're still great friends. But that part of the organization kind of dissolved. And then we... with Scott and my wife, Estella, and like I said, the other friends that have helped us out, we still wanted to give back. But now, you know, with scholarships, that involves a lot of money. Mm. And then you have to find the kids to do it. I mean, not that it's not feasible, but honestly, with our time, we couldn't.
It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of work to
put
into.
It's a lot of work, a lot
of
time.
So we had already started, even before the that organization, we, like the first duffel bag drive that we organized. I literally on Facebook found togetherwerise.org. I saw their video and they said, you know, about, like Scott was talking about the trash bags, how a lot of foster kids go home with the trash bag. It was a very emotional video. Mm. I saw it and I showed it to my wife. I'm like, we got to do something.
Right.
So then that's when we jumped into our first drive and we solicited donations. Everything was online. Family and friends, they helped us to raise the funds for that. And we've been doing that, like I said, for the last 4 or 5 years, right? But we were never really under a name. And then
so you guys were just a group of friends, essentially.
My wife and I, just wanted to give back. And we just, you know, like I said, her work, Memorial Medical Center in Modesto, they ask each of the units there to give back to the community, do something. So they did the backpacks. They did that drive and they went to foster kids. We did the bikes through them. We did duffel bags through them. And just, we have a lot of support. But unfortunately, it's not enough. Well, we need to make, you know, obviously the more we can get. And, you know, that's where you guys come in and having this night that's going to help us out, you know, it's a tremendous help. So before you and I started talking, you know, what was it? Early summer when you called me, I think. We had already been talking about we needed to make it have a name. Oh, and it goes back to last April, actually. No, what was it? Going back to my friend Ricardo. Sometime in the spring.
Okay.
He comes up to me and he says, hey, I'm working with the Modesto Nuts. They want me to do what's called Dia de la Diversión at the Modesto Nut Games. They're looking for someone to help out. I told them about you guys. You come out, you'll do some michelada mix. You can't sell the beer, just the michelada mix. We'll give you a little area there. And just to promote yourselves and to raise funds for whatever you want to do. So we said, all right, let's start another duffel bag for teenagers. Let's do duffel bags for teenagers now, because like Scott said, off air, a lot of times the teenagers are left out.
Because everybody, you know, thinks about the little kids. Everybody thinks about
easier,
the little one.
It's also easier. A teddy bear, a coloring book, that's easy for, but a teenager, it gets a little bit trickier. You know, a teddy bear, that's cool for some kids, but not for all of them.
I think as teenagers also, you got to remember that by that time they start developing their likes and dislikes, and whether it's sports, right? You don't just give them basketball. Yeah. They're like, well, I don't like basketball. I like football.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, think about when we were teenagers.
Right.
Right. Was it easy fitting in? Was it easy? Yeah. Was life easy as a teenager?
No, not at all. It's probably the roughest time
in
my
life. And we all came from homes with parents.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, add that on top of that.
Right, right.
So trying to figure out who you are, where your place in this world is, and now trying to figure out, you know, my life. So it's a little bit harder for teens. And then you think about all the commercials and all the advertising and stuff you see about foster kids. It's usually, you know, aimed at younger kids. They don't really like advertise, you know, that foster teens need help. I just saw a billboard in Stockton like a week ago, and it was the first time I'd ever seen an advertisement or a promotion saying help foster a teen, and I'd never seen that before. And like, I was, that was awesome, because there's probably more teens than little kids out there.
Yeah, it's crazy you brought that up. You know what, you're right. I never even thought about it till now. Like all the videos, commercials, things you see, it's always infants and, you know, 1-year-old, 2-year-olds. Yeah. And you're right, what about the teenagers?
And that was us. I mean, we've been doing a lot of stuff for the little kids, and we were finally, you know, talking to Scott. It's like, well, we really haven't hit the teenagers. So when we decided last year, going back to the Modesto Nuts, so we had to come up with the name. It wasn't just, okay, Eddie, Scott, Estella, Sergio, Lisa, Giovanni, and friends. You know, it had to be something. So
who thought of the name Foster Love 209?
I want to say it was Estella.
Estella came up with it?
I think it was Foster Love 209. I know she came up with our logo.
Okay.
I'm not just trying to, you know, kiss you know what to my wife. I think she's the one that came up with it. Brownie Foster points. Love 209. I mean, and that's what we told Ricardo. And said, hey, tell him we're Foster Love 209. Yeah,
just stuck with
and
it.
And then we just stuck with it. And
that's awesome.
You know, and we have our Instagram at FosterLove209.
And I love the logo, because the logo is like real simple. Yeah. It's just there.
Our idea too.
That's I love the logo. Yeah, the logo's awesome.
Hopefully, we were just talking to Scott. Maybe I can get some stickers to give out at the event on November 3rd. Just, you know, give our name out there.
Right.
So again, Instagram is FosterLove209. Same on Facebook, FosterLove209. Again, we're just trying to spread out the, not only asking for help, you know, to help these kids in foster care, but spread the word. That's why it's called Foster Love. We want to share that love for foster kids. And to people need to realize, yes, it is hard, you know, coming from a foster parent perspective. It would take probably 3 podcast episodes to go through what we, I mean, you two know our history, what we went through. And a lot of people say, well, man, you guys just have a big heart. I'm like, no, it's like, it's like any parent. You face trials and tribulations, and you just you're only as strong as the next incident that you're going through.
Right.
And so a lot of people will be like, I could never be a foster parent. And I tell them, do you have a heart? Yeah. Well, if you can, it's just it's very uncomfortable for people to do it.
Right.
And I get it. I get it, because it's not easy. It's not an easy thing, and it doesn't make me better than someone that can't do it. It's just, for us, it was the right time. And yes, we adopted 2. We have our biological daughter that came after the adoptions. We're not done. I mean, just last night we're talking about, you know, we need to adopt another child. Or not even adopt, just foster. We want to foster. Yeah. And it, because it's, there's so much need out there, man. Last statistic I saw was, I think, 400,000 in the United States alone.
You know, one of the things is, and you kind of touched on this, is you don't know all the ins and out of the systems it works, right? So if you take that kind of mindset, all right, well, what's the general consensus of what foster care is? People don't know.
Right.
When I told my mom what I was doing, she freaked out. And I asked her why. Because everything she knew about foster kids and foster care was things of how she saw that portrayed on TV and movies.
Right.
That's literally what she thought. Foster kids are ones always breaking the law.
Home alone.
And criminals, right? Like, that's what she thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's what my mom thought, how many other people feel that way?
She was adopted herself, so
So if that's what she thinks, what does the general consensus
and
think?
And I think you're right. And going back to, like, even what Eddie was saying, that a lot of parents or people, you know, say, I can't foster kids. But there's also other ways you can help out, right? Absolutely. So if you cannot open your home for whatever the reason is, and we're not going to sit here and talk about, you know, 1,000 reasons, because there is. Okay, so you can't open your home and foster a kid, but there is multiple ways that you can help. Yeah. And whether it's giving back, whether it's time, you know what I mean? Just different things, right? And I think that's something that Foster Love, I'm assuming you guys are trying to educate people on what they can do and what's possible.
So one of the things, and I'm sure some of your listeners will remember this, Sleep Train,
yeah,
before they became Mattress Firm, used to have all kinds of foster kids advertisements and donations, and you could go into the Sleep Train centers and donate stuff. I wasn't a huge fan of how they did it because they really worked the bleeding heart angle on their commercials. Mm. Like, like I said, I adopted.
Guilt trip.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like,
so, real. Call it what it is.
No, no, 100%. Yeah. So, like I said, I adopted a kid I used to work with, my son Justin, who's now a Marine. But he used to hate that as a kid, as a former foster kid. Like, he'd be like, because it'd be like, the commercials would be like, I never had my own shoes before. Like, you know, and Justin was like, man,
stop
this. This is ridiculous, right? So I didn't like that. But I will tell you one thing that I did like that they did, and this is something that I think is very relevant to what you just said, is they kind of changed how they were marketing, and they said not everybody can be a foster parent, but everybody can help a foster child.
Right.
And that is right. That's perfect. That's spot on to kind of what you're talking
about.
So
somebody came up with that before?
Yeah, it was Sleep Train.
Man, I was thinking about that right now. I thought I was coming up with something cool. Yeah.
Nah. But going back to what you're saying, the perception that a lot of people do think, I mean, no, I shouldn't say that they don't think, they're right. Foster parents do get money. When we first, I remember it was like my third or fourth meeting, or not meeting, our training, the person that was doing the instruction, talked about, you know, financials, you know, you're going to be given a stipend. And I'm usually one of those people, I am a teacher, but I'm a batch student. I'm like, literally, I just sit there and be like, oh man. And that was the first time, like in the fourth week, I raised my hand and I said, how can I decline you giving me money? So what do you mean? It's like, I don't want your money. I'm not in it for the money. I'm here because, yes, my goal is to adopt through foster care. We looked into adopting through private agencies where it was like 20,000-30,000. And yes, at that time, we could have afforded it. I mean, we'd have taken out a loan, a second loan on our home, but it was like we really wanted a child really bad. But then we're like, wait a minute. There's, and again, going back to Scott tells me about all these kids that need to be placed in a home. Let's go there.
Right.
So when the guy's telling me, you're going to get, I think at that time it was like $600 a month per each kid. And I'm like, no, I'm cool. Take me off the list of, you know, you don't have to pay me money. And he's like, you have to. I'm like, what do you mean I have to? I'll just block the check. He's like, no, that's the only way that we can make sure that those kids are going to get money. Now, what you do with that money is your responsibility. Mm. We're hoping as an organization, you're going to take that money and buy that kid clothes and socks and shoes. So they're not in a commercial, you know. I never had my own pair of shoes.
And not to hide it, but what we're discussing is the fact that there is people out there that do it as a business.
Absolutely.
And, right? and we're just keeping it real, it is what it is.
And that's, hey, Rough and Real Podcast, and we're just keeping it real. So we're keeping it real. There are people that do take advantage of it. Have I seen it? Absolutely, I've seen it.
Because I've seen it. Personal life, I have 7-8 kids,
teacher, and I'm like, a teacher, that's a business. Yeah, and it's like, really? And that's what really, and Scott and I have had these conversations before, for lack of a better term, pisses me off because I'm like, really, man? You don't realize that you're giving us parents or that are doing it for the kids a bad name because that's what everybody sees. Everybody sees, my tia or my primo or my cousin, my aunt,
neighbor, my blah, blah, blah.
The kids were always wearing the same clothes to school every single day and they're getting $600-$700 a month and they're going to the casino. They're going on field trips. And the foster parents
got a brand new car.
And I've heard of foster parents where they go on vacations and they leave the kids. They take their real kids.
It happens.
And it happens. So that's,
we just got to be honest.
We get that bad perception that everybody's like that. But it's just like anybody. In any position or any job or human, you get those bad apples. And we're trying to educate people that we're not all bad apples.
Right.
You know, there are some people out there that have fostered 20, 30, 40 kids. I mean, watch Ellen. Once a week, she has somebody on there that's adopting or has adopted, you know, or fostered, you know, 10, 20 kids. My son's first placement, it was an older lady. She was in her 60s. And this is, I mean, we're talking about 8 years ago. She had foster adopted, or not just foster care. She never adopted any kid. Over 70? She was retired and then she did that. She just loved having the kids. And she would have them there for 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes 2 or 3 months. And she would tell us, we call her Mama Judy. That was her name, Mama Judy. And that's what she did. And she loved it for the kids. And she said, it would break my heart when they would leave, but I knew that that moment that was there, it was a day or 10 days or 10 months, that kid was given love for that time that he or she was with me.
Right.
And that's what foster love comes to. It's like, can you give a child love for 1 minute? 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years? Yes, you can. And that's where it becomes tough with foster parents is, you know, everybody has a big heart. Everyone I know at least has a big heart. But it's that, oh man, what if they go back to their parents? Yes, you're right. But at the same time, you're giving that child.
Do it with the right intentions, you'll be all right.
You're doing it with the right intentions. That child needs love, whether it's for a day, an hour, a month, 10 months. That child needs love. And if you're that person that can give it to them, doesn't matter if they give you $1,000 a month or a million. You're going to do it because it's your heart. You're in it.
Yeah.
You're in it for the child, not for the money. Because believe me, if anybody's in it for the money, man, it's rough. If you're it's rough when you're not in it for the money. Because as a parent, you know, I mean, we have our kids that have their moments. And if you're doing it for money, and it's
not the way to go.
It's not the way to go. It's not.
Get a second job.
Yeah. Get a second job.
Let's be real. No, and you know, it's funny what you're saying about the whole love thing, because honestly, when me and Curtis first started talking about putting something together and trying to raise money, we're trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, what was the money going to be for. And one of the first things we always think about is giving back to our community. And no, to me specifically, I'll speak for myself. There's no better way to give back to your community than starting with the kids.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that's going to take care of us 10 years from now, 20 years from now, right? That's unfortunately or fortunately, however it works out, they're the ones that's going to handle it. So it's important that we go back and we give to the youngsters, whether it be teenagers or even younger. So when we talked about it, I'm like, dude, these kids just need to know that they're being loved. And when me and Curtis, you know, we always talk about God and the Christian. This is a Christian based podcast. We everything starts with love. If you ain't got the love, bro, I don't care how good you try to be. Right. I don't care how much you give back. If you're not giving back with love, if you're not trying to do the right thing with love, you're not going to accomplish anything. So for me and Curtis, it was important. That's why I hooked up. I talked to you and reached out to you, because I knew that's you know, I had an idea what you guys were up to.
Yeah.
And for me and Curtis, it was important to give back to love. So give back to these kids that, and it's not for me. The money we raise is not to buy new microphones. It's not to buy a new computer. It's not to me and Curtis to go on vacation and have dinner. That's not what this is about. It's not about glorifying the Rough and Real podcast. I try to tell the listeners that we're going to do this as a family, right? It's not about me and Curtis. Me and Curtis are just two voices that jump on a mic and we talk. I want to give back to the kids. I want a kid, my goal someday, dude, and he doesn't even have to know my name or the name of the podcast. I'm hoping that a teenager, when he's 25, 30, can stop, say he's either going down the wrong path or not, but can stop and go, you know what, man? I remember when I was 13, there was these guys, or there was this group or this organization. Yeah. I don't know who it was, but they showed me love.
Yeah.
And that changed my life. So now that 25-year-old, that 30-year-old can reach back and go, you know what? I need to give back to the kids. I need to give back. Just like you were saying, because of your mom, Scott, right? Because of your mom, you're like, well, let me give back too, because that's what, if it wasn't for your mom being adopted, you probably wouldn't have been here. So if we can impact kids in that way, I think that is probably more important than, you know, the gifts you give them sometimes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've been, like I said, I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
So when you do anything a long time, you learn along the way that things that you should do and that you shouldn't do. It's just like being a parent or any job, right? One of the things that I've learned is when I work with my teens, one of the things I always tell them, I just told a girl this on Friday. She's having a rough time. And I just stopped and I said, hey, I just want you to know that you matter.
Right.
You're important.
Yeah.
You know? And so these kind of things, they reinforce that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about a teenager thinking back when they were 15, right? Well, I got my social worker telling me that I matter.
Right.
And then, you know, I remember this group did this at Christmas.
Mm.
Man, that's great, man. Maybe there are good people out there. Maybe I'm going to make it. You know, we can do this.
Yeah.
Like those kind of things. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, like I said, because as adults now, we can look back, whether it was a school teacher, whether it was a neighbor, whether it was, you know, somebody, an uncle or somebody that gave you words of encouragement.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it changes us now, right? Eddie was talking about his mom and his dad, you know, what he saw. Now he's trying to give back for those reasons. If a kid in foster care, unfortunately, gets stuck in a home where it is, quote unquote, a business, and they, you know, they're not getting those words of encouragement. They're not seeing that love. They're not seeing that compassion. They're going to grow up to be like, well, screw it. The world's, this is the way the world is. So I'm going to be negative too. And I don't care who's around me. But if you get that love, you get that compassion, bro, then hopefully it spreads and it grows. Cause I think that's the biggest thing, especially with children.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about, you know, the positions that Scott and I are in, you know, him as a social worker, myself as a teacher, we see it daily. Right. We see those foster kids and, you know, we know what they need. And the biggest thing they need is love. You know, all this fundraising that we do, it's not for to help the foster parents. Mm. I mean, I'm sure they appreciate it. Like, oh, thank you. You know, now I don't have to go buy a bike.
Right, right.
Okay. But it's not for them. It's not like to help them not have to go buy a bike. It's that moment that they get that bike, that foster care kid is like, wow, some stranger gave me a bike. Not my foster parent gave me a bike.
Right.
You know,
there's love like outside
come,
of these walls.
If you come to my kid today and be like, hey, I bought you this bike. Oh, man, thanks, Renee. I appreciate it.
Right, right.
I go to it. Oh, thanks, Dad. Right. You know, I appreciate it, but it's going to be different meaning to him. Right. If somebody, I'm obviously a complete stranger, stranger danger, obviously, but you know what I mean? Comes to them and says, here, I'm giving you this toy.
Right.
I'm giving you this because our reason is they're a foster kid.
You know, 100%, 100%. So. And I think that's important. We've gone out, we went to the park, me and Curtis once, and we, you know, kind of gave back to the homeless or not even, I don't want to say the homeless, but just people in general.
Yeah.
Gave back some little bit of food, some hygiene things. And it's crazy the reception that you get from these people because, again, we weren't there. You know, we offered prayer for people. We offered to, you know, do whatever we can to help them. A lot of them were just grateful to see that, like, oh, wow, these guys just, yeah. you know, these people showed up out of nowhere. And not only that, but we posted it on Facebook and literally we had a handful of people from our church and friends show up. We didn't even plan it, bro. Yeah. And a lot of times it's crazy because we go back to what we talk about, giving back. A lot of people want to give back, but they don't know how.
Yeah.
Right. They don't know how to start or how to, you know, we just said, we're going to go. And then people were like, all right, I'll show up. I had a friend of mine, Lindsay, and his wife showed up with sandwiches. They just went out and made a bunch of sandwiches, put them together. Cool. Somebody else showed up with a bunch of waters. It was like, cool. Sometimes you need somebody to push the agenda to give back. Yeah. And I think that's important. And that's what we're trying to do here, trying to promote you guys, you know, so people can know how to help you guys. So do you guys have a way where people can contact you guys directly? Say, cause you say you work, you know, you work, Scott, or maybe they have questions. Say, hey, man, I've been thinking about adopting. Is that something you would do to help out and kind of give some advice?
So, just for example, when Eddie referenced that we were out at the Modesto Nuts game once a month, I had several people come up to me and say, oh, I thought about fostering. I thought about adopting. Like, what's your agency? And then, oh, I went through here and it wasn't a positive experience. So what I do is then I then direct them via either business card or a phone number to our recruiter.
Okay.
And then our recruiter basically has, you know, a presentation kind of explaining what it entails and what they could do. And then I give them if they have any questions, I'll answer as much questions as I can. You know what I mean? I've been around long enough to know most of the answers they're looking for. And most of the time, the beginning questions are things that like you right. brought up, like, what does this mean? I this is what I think of foster kids. They don't really understand. So then I kind of, you know, break it down a little bit for them. But then, yeah, like absolutely. Like we've actually had a couple people from events that we've done, sign up and become parents. So
awesome.
That reminds me right now. Remember that guy that came by? He says he has a ranch with a bunch of horses
mm-hmm.
and he wants to, during Christmas, hopefully, it reaches him that, we're still thinking about it. He wants to bring a group of foster kids over to his ranch and have them ride a horse.
That's cool.
My kids have only Emilio rode a horse when he was like 12 months old.
Only foster kids? Because I'll take my son.
No.
You know what it is? You talked about going to the park and, you know, helping homeless, right? I'll be honest. We're rough and real, right?
Yeah.
The world's upside down right now, man.
Right.
It is.
Right.
With homeless and kids and there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly.
It starts with a couple people and then maybe a couple more people.
Right.
Right. So we were at Modesto Nuts game and this guy started asking me questions and I was answering him and he told me he's a barber in Oakdale, gave me his card and was like, hit me up. Maybe we can do like a free haircutting thing event for foster kids.
Nice.
Right. So just like little things like that. Right. Right? You know, like, and all the kids get their hair cut when they're allowed to. And when I say they're allowed to, they have rights. And sometimes you have to get things cleared through the court and things or like that. Parent, that's what I mean when if they're allowed to. But if you go to this special barber shop and you get a free haircut, like, that kid's going to remember that.
Yeah.
You know, right. Oh, man, that guy was so cool or that, you know what I mean? Those kind of a thing. So.
Well, yeah, well, I think we all have something to offer and help back. And again, foster kids, I mean, like you said, the world's upside down right now. Foster kids, homelessness, and me and Curtis talk about, we're all two paychecks away from being homeless. Yeah. Let's be realistic. Yeah, you know what I mean? Most of us are.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? So to look down on, well, because they're drug addicts. No, that's not the case. A lot of people we talk to were just down on their luck. You know what I mean? So foster kids are the same thing. It's not by their own doing, right? It's just they're down on their luck, whatever choices their parents made or whatever the case may be. So us as people, just find something you can give back, man. And, you know, you don't have to start a group like Foster Love 209. You don't have to start a podcast like The Rough and Real and get out here and do something. You don't have to put an event together like All Hope, No Hype. But you can just get involved, right? Get involved with whatever you can. I think that's very important.
Not everybody can be a foster parent.
Not everybody can be a foster
but
parent.
But everybody can help a foster parent.
Dude, I should have... Hashtag. I'm gonna start that, bro. Hashtag. That's mine.
It's a hashtag that I forgot. Look,
that was Sleep Train years ago, so it might not be a hashtag. You might be able to start it
up
again.
Start it back up, bro. That's gonna be my new thing, bro. No, I appreciate you guys, man, coming through.
Appreciate you, man.
Okay, so just talk a little bit about what we're gonna be doing. So, real quick, so All Hope, No Hype. Again, the money we raise is all gonna go back so that we can work with Foster Love 209 and give back to the children of our communities, whether it be here in Lathrop, Tracy, Manteca, anywhere we can, because, you know, we either give back, you know, anywhere in the Central Valley, I guess, whatever we can do. But it's going to depend on the listeners. It's going to depend on people that buy the tickets and support the event. If we only raise $100, then we only got $100 to help. If we raise $1,000, then we got $1,000 to help. So I do ask people that, hey, just come out, buy a ticket. If you guys can't make it, we get it. But help support, you know what I mean? Come buy tickets. It's all going to go back to them. Like I said, we're not doing anything but giving the money back. But Scott, let me start with you real quick. If people have questions, like you said, about fostering, where can they reach your recruiter or how can they reach that if they want to get into fostering?
So,
for example,
I work for an agency called Uplift Family Services.
Got it.
And you can look up the Uplift Family Services. We have an office in Stockton and an office in Modesto. The recruiter is the same person. Her name is Angie Timponi. The office, you can just dial the main phone number, is 209-523-3710.
Okay.
And just ask for Angie, and she can give you guys any information you need there. Or you can ask for me, Scott Bittner.
There you go.
And I can help you out if you prefer
Bittner,
to talk
not
to
Bittner.
Yeah, Bittner, B-I-T-T-N-E-R. Bittner. Not Bittner. But if you want to call me Bittner and you call, that's fine.
That's fine. He'll take the call anyways, right? He'll still take the call. That's cool. Okay, so they can reach to you if they want to do that. Foster Love 209, if they want to check out your social medias, things like that, and just kind of get to know more about you guys, or where can they reach you guys? So at
Instagram, at Foster Love 209, and Facebook also at Foster Love 209.
Okay. And if people want to just kind of donate to you guys, because I know you say you're doing duffel bags right now. You guys are starting to get that, and you guys are doing like a fundraiser.
So for the duffel bag, the campaign through togetherwerise.org is over. We should be getting the duffel bags hopefully later this month.
Okay.
So we can decorate them either at the end of the month or in November. So that fundraising took place over the summer.
Okay.
So we're done with that. They usually give us a time period. But people can go straight to togetherwerise.org. That's, like I said earlier, that's where we go through, tax deductible donations go through there. They have right now they're doing a Socktober where you donate money and they're going to donate, socks to foster kids. They do a Disneyland trip for foster kids, bikes, skateboards.
Got it.
Officially to donate to us, we've just pretty much been doing fundraisers, like I said, either through them. Or with the Modesto Nuts, it was just people paying cash.
So you're going to be buying these duffel bags, and then you're going to have a decorating party?
Correct.
People can go on your Instagram and Facebook, find out where this decorating party. So
and actually, like I said, maybe we can have some out there. Maybe have some kids come through. We'll have at least 20 where the kids can come in and sit down and, you know, decorate the duffel
bags.
And the decorating is as simple as flowers too. We've had some elaborate ones, like I think somebody drew a Ninja Turtle a couple years ago that we did one. So
got it.
And I think if people want to donate to Foster Love 209 to this project or just to keep it local, you know, just instant direct message on Instagram or Facebook, and then
We do have Venmo, we do have PayPal. It's not Foster Love 209. I tried to set up my Venmo for just Foster Love 209, and because I already have one, it wouldn't let me do it. So just when we were talking earlier, off the air, I gotta set up a website. I figure set up a website.
So you guys are still new. You guys are still trying to come up. And I get it. And that's the same thing we're doing. So that's pretty cool. We catch you guys on the ground.
And just to get donations on there, you know, if they want to donate through PayPal, we're more than willing to give it to them. And they're going to see where the money goes. I mean, it doesn't come to my pocket and I go on vacation type of thing. So, and honestly, if people donate, like I've always told people, if you donate to someone that, you know, on the street, you're donated from the kindness of your heart. You can't decide where the money's going. At that point, that money's that person. If they choose to do something else with it, then karma will get them. But so again, you just worry about donating.
We go back to saying give it with love, right? That's exactly what it's about. It's giving with love and then everything else works out. Okay. So put the hands on. People can come out and help you guys decorate these duffel bags when you guys have these parties and things like that. Yep. That's awesome. So yeah, follow them on social media, on the Facebook and Instagram. So you guys kind of keep up to date on that stuff. Find out, you know, wherever they're doing. But I appreciate you guys coming through. Anything you guys want to share, man? Anything? I just appreciate you guys being here, bro. So,
it's my pleasure. So this event, is there a does it have a spot where I can share it?
Well, what do you mean?
Like on social media? Yeah.
I posted a couple flyers and stuff on there. Okay. I also did an invite, like one of those on Facebook.
Okay.
That's the other thing, too. I'm not too savvy when it comes to all these social media stuff. Right. So, I did an event. I set up an event on Facebook and stuff like that. But as far, again, selling tickets, we're doing it hand-to-hand or Anna Devotionals, beauty devotionals in Manteca selling tickets for us as well.
Okay. So, as we talked about before, I have my own podcast.
Yes, I was going to get to that before we close out.
I was going to say, so I could, because what I'd like to do is I want to, you know, I know this is Christian based and like you said, I forget what you called it. It's a conference. I
think. Yeah, it's a conference. It's going to be a small conference.
But still, you know, you never know who might want to attend. So I want to get out there and
share. No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. But Scott actually has his own podcast as well. It's called 209 Till Infinity. It's about hip hop, pop culture, movies, things of that nature, right?
Yeah, so it's 209 Till Infinity, all one word. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're on all that. And then you can stream the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Podbean. So we're on all those mediums. Okay. And basically kind of me and my buddy Bill, we're longtime friends. We get together, we talk about basically old school hip hop, like where it started was, is hip hop dead?
Right.
That's kind of the idea that people think because people hear modern hip hop and rap and they don't like it. Well, it's not dead. And we kind of talk about that on our podcast. And then the thing is when you do your podcast, I'm sure like who you are kind of just comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
So we like movies, we like sports, we like everything. So that kind of just kind of transformed into that. And we just recorded yesterday. We're closing out the end of our first year.
Okay.
So 41 episodes. So we've done, it's been an amazing ride. But yeah, rap, hip hop, movies, culture, things like that. Check it out if you like.
Awesome.
Hit us up.
Yeah. Go over there, hit them up. And, you know, if you like hip hop and you're into movies and things like that, go check them out. So it's more of a man show.
It's definitely a man
show. It's a man show. All right. So fellas, get out there. Oh. Show them some love. Show them some
ladies
support.
Ladies are welcome, though. Ladies are welcome.
For sure. And I want to thank you, Renee.
Appreciate
for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
Again, spreading the love, and you're helping us spread it, man. So hopefully people will come out. What is it? All hope, no hype. All hope, no hype. Come out, say hi to Scott and I. We're very easy to find. We're very approachable. We are willing to educate anyone in anything to do with foster care, adoption, give us the tough questions. We don't mind them. Like, you know, like earlier today, you know, the home money thing. I'm not trying to hide anything from anybody. I make it as real as possible. I talk to the people about how easy it is to become a foster parent and how hard it is to be a foster parent.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it all comes to the love. Foster love 209.
I'll also just throw this out there. That's fine with me. My personal Instagram is at Savage O'Malley. It's SavageOmalley. If you don't want to contact like the office or the agency and you just have general questions,
okay,
you're more than welcome to hit me up. Just send me a direct message.
There it is.
And I'll interact with anybody. Like, you know, I'm passionate about this. I think that's obvious. Yeah. You guys are all passionate.
And our Foster Love 209 on Facebook and Instagram goes directly to me. I'm the only one that gets questions on there. If you post on the actual page, obviously everybody's going to see it. But if you want to send me a direct message, absolutely. we'll reach out to anyone.
So. And we're planning to be out there.
You guys are going to be at the event. We'll have a little table for you guys set up with some info, whatever. You guys can be there.
Anybody's got any questions, we'll be out there.
So they will be there November 3rd.
Maybe out there.
I'll see if I can bring just some flyers or business cards to the agency. Whatever we can do to help out and build that community.
Yep. That's what it's about. I appreciate you guys, man, coming through, hanging out with us.
Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, for sure, man. Unfortunately, Curtis couldn't be here, but I know he wanted to, so he does send his regards and everything, and because I know he has some questions too, but he's like, I'll just catch him on November 3rd. We'll just make it happen on November 3rd. That's what Curtis did. So everybody out there listening, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us here on the Rough and Real podcast. Again, just a big shout out to Foster Love 209, Estella, and everybody. Just thank you guys for what you guys are doing for the community and trying to give back. We appreciate it. I personally can appreciate it. I know a lot of our listeners will too. We have a lot of listeners who are foster parents and things of that nature, or adopted kids as well. I appreciate you guys, man. You guys mind if I just pray before we get up out of here?
Absolutely.
All right. Jesus, thank you for today. We thank you for this episode that you're allowing us to record. I thank you for my brothers here with me that they came by and were able to share their stories. And I know you were in this room directing everything. This is not about us. This is not about our podcast. It's not about their organization. It's all about you, Jesus. It's about love. It's about giving back to the community, giving back to the kids. So personally, with my brothers, I just want to thank you, Jesus, for coming into our lives, supporting us and hanging out with us and keeping us safe. I want to pray for every listener out there that you open their heart and let them understand that it's about love. It's about giving back. It's not about anybody in person in particular, but I pray for everybody out there. I hope everybody's having a great day. God, I hope you bless everybody as they get ready for their week. And with that, we close. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it. Again, this is Rene Perez with Curtis Owens, MIA, but this is the Rough and Real podcast, and we are out.